preacher or you're a politician or you're giving a lecture at school or whatever the situation might be, the first thing a speaker does is survey the crowd. You see if anybody's sleeping, anybody's angry, anybody's mad, anybody's carrying a weapon like a hammer or a brick or something of that nature. Lemons, tomatoes. And I've surveyed this crowd and I've come to the conclusion you're almost without hope. Amen. How many of you fought with your spouse this morning before you came to church? Some of you look like you had a really bad fight. You didn't get your coffee this morning, I know. You know, it's like I have to have 2 cups before I can even speak to my wife. 3 cups is better. It makes me really a jovial person. But 2 cups are absolutely necessary before we speak a word. Ask her, she'll tell you. Some of you stayed up too late last night and you didn't get enough sleep, I know. Something's wrong, but it's going to be a long day if we don't help me in the message with a few amens now and then. That's not good enough. It's going to be at least 15 minutes longer than I had planned because now it will not flow. I'll have to dig deep to bring it up. But when I know you're with me and the Spirit's flowing, everything moves smoothly. It's a bumpy ride when I don't have people with me. Are you there? No, really. See, that's what I'm talking about. Are you really there this morning? Thank you. Let's get another offering. Where's my ushers? All right. Find the book of Isaiah chapter 59. Stand. We're going to read a few verses of scripture. We're going to pray, let you be seated, then I'm going back and read more of that chapter. Isaiah chapter 59. The message this morning, America, truth has fallen. America, truth is fallen. We're at a crossroads in our time down here, at a crossroads. Yes, I believe the coming of the Lord is very, very soon, but God's not on a time clock. God's not on a time schedule, not like we are. To God, minutes and hours mean nothing. He's eternal, forever. You and I, every tick of the clock makes us get older and more decrepit, but not with God. Now, God does have a schedule, but I'm not privileged to know it. Neither are you. I believe Jesus is near, but how near is near? 2 weeks? 30 days? A year? 5 years? 10? Oh, God forbid that we should have 10 more years. At the rate that it's going, 10 more years would be horrendous in America unless we change things. And it is possible to change, but you're the one to do it. You're the one that has to have the grit and the stamina and the stickability to go through the change. You can't whine and cry baby and say, I just wish it was like it was. I had an individual one time that spoke some evil things about me as a pastor and got beside themselves with me, and they caused a rift, not I, but there was a rift there. And one day they came back to me after a couple of years and they said, Preacher, I just wish it was like it was. It never has been the same, and I want to apologize. I'm going to tell you something. Things will never, ever be just like they were unless you make them that way. Hello? I'm serious. Isaiah chapter 59. I want you to look down at verse number 12. Speaking to the Jews in particular and to Judah especially. He says, For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us, for our transgressions are with us. And as for our iniquities, we know them. and transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. And judgment is turned away backwards, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. Father, we're grateful, so thankful that you're our God, you're our Father, that you've given us a way, a plan, and a purpose. You've given us a way to become your children through the new birth, through the blood of Jesus Christ, his sacrifice. We lift up his holy name this morning and praise him on high. Lord Jesus, help us to preach with nothing but truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, and Holy Spirit, help us. Guide us, direct us. Take the words that are read and spoken as they related to Israel, and let us see America and where we are at the present time. For you stated that all the things that were done to Israel are but our examples on this side of the cross, our examples, pay attention to, learn from history, not erase history, not burn history, not try to do away with it, but learn from the good and the bad. I pray your forgiveness of my sin this morning, and I pray for the power that's needed, the unction, and your almighty presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated this morning. America, truth is fallen. Truth. What is truth? Yeah. So many of the school kids have been taught now that there are no absolutes and truth is whatever it is to you. That's absolutely a lie. There are absolutes. There are rights and wrongs. There is good and there is evil. I'm finding that our godly nation has become ungodly at most. We've allowed things to go on that should not have been allowed, but had they not been allowed, many of us would not have seen the light and experienced the reality of the population of America at present time. We would not have known about it. It still would have been glossed over until the bottom completely fell out. We have three generations now that have been taught there are no absolutes, only what you feel right and wrong in your own mind. There is no truth. Truth is what you make it. And we would be better if all the rich people were not rich anymore, but we take away from and distribute that wealth to each and every one so that all of us are on an equal plane and peace is prominent throughout the land. And you're talking about a utopia that does not exist. This side of heaven, it does not exist. Socialism, communism, Marxism, we've gone through three generations that have been taught they came from monkeys and they evolved from a little atom that somehow, some way got started and down through the years. We have three generations that have been brainwashed that life in the womb is not really life until it is born and it begins to breathe air. We've been taught that abortion is another form of birth control, and after all, is the right of the mother to murder and to take apart piece by piece that unborn baby in the womb, and it's okay. Who in their right mind would believe something like that? We've been brainwashed that it's okay for men to marry men and women to marry women. After all, it's just the way God made them. I find that God said in the scriptures he didn't make them that way. In fact, they're an abomination unto him. We've had three generations now go through the process and the brainwashing and the socialism and the anti-God, anti-America. They've been turned into globalists, universalists, rather than sovereignty of the great United States of America. I think every stinking one of them ought to leave today. As I watch the news and I watch the broadcast, I'm seeing more and more. They are becoming more brazen and more without any retribution of the evil that they participate in the streets. Now they are carrying weapons and pointing them at people if they do not obey. I'm talking about the wicked and the evil who are marching in peaceful protest with weapons and shooting people with them. America. Apparently, truth is fallen. Truth. Webster in the 1800s was the standard for every definition of an English word. Still, if you want to know the original meanings in your Bible, go back there. Don't get a different perverted translation. Stay with King James Version. Truth means stability. Well, why would truth mean stability? Because it never changes. You're stable on truth. Truth, stability, continuance, faithfulness, reliableness, a body of ethical or religious knowledge. Truth. Truth has fallen. In Isaiah chapter 59, may I remind you of one thing. You and I are here this morning, and I look around, I've surveyed the crowd, what little crowd it is, and I've noticed that probably 99%, there may be one who's come in that I don't know about, 99% of you are born again. Amen? You're born again? Okay. So there's no need to go into how to be saved and those kinds of things, except that we do so to give glory to Jesus Christ, our Savior. It's through Him and Him alone that you and I are here this morning, born again, children of God, able to cry out to God, and He answers because He's a Father to us. Not just a father of us, not a father that abandons his children and his family, but a father to us who takes care of our needs, of our fearfulness and everything else. Thank God for it. The Apostle Paul, one of the great prophets of the New Testament, the great preachers, wrote in 1 Corinthians, he said, all the things that happened to Israel happened for our, on this side of the cross, our examples. So oftentimes we preach the Old Testament to give you a bird's eye view of what's going to happen to me and you if we continue going the same path that Israel walked. You and I will end up in the same place except for the grace of Almighty God. So, America, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, verse 1. Neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not. He refuses to hear. He will not hear. Oftentimes when we outwardly are religious, but inwardly deny the presence or the power of Almighty God, he's not going to hear. When we are outwardly trying to please God on Sunday, but through the rest of the week we're living like the devil or for the devil or are doing the things of the world and consumed with the things of the world and no thought, no priority towards God at all during the week, He's not going to listen on Sunday when you breathe a little prayer of need. He refuses. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands, listen, America, Israel did the very same things that America is doing right now. Exactly the same. They killed their babies by the mass thousands and offered them unto Baal and Moloch and Ashtaroth and all those idol gods. And the reason why they killed their babies in such numbers was because it was part of a ritual that was very appealing to the lustful flesh in a sexual fashion. And they got caught up in that. And they had idols, and they had those gods up in the hills and the mountains under the trees. And they would go to Jerusalem to worship God in the temple and offer their sacrifice. And God says, I know. You call upon me in the temple. I know. But all the time, you're causing your children to go through the fire, and you're worshiping Moloch and offering the blood sacrifice of your own children. America, what do you think abortion is but a sacrifice unto Satan himself? Abortion is nothing more than a blood sacrifice that is given to Lucifer in the name of the woman's right. She does not have right to commit cold-blooded murder. Where are we in America? My goodness, notice. He said, verse 3, for your hands are defiled with blood. Speaking about these babies. Your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. Boy, you want to hear perverseness? Try watching some of the YouTube videos of the mob mentality. Listen to all the language. You can't even repeat what they say. It's perverse. It's horrible. It's ungodly. Verse 4, none calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. Truth. Stability, continuance, faithfulness, reliableness, a body of ethical or religious knowledge. History is truth. And you don't change history by tearing down statues or burning up documents in a museum somewhere. That's what the communists did so long ago. That's what the socialist crowd in every nation that has taken over has done. But you know what's different about America is that in those communist and socialist countries, they are made to and demanded loyalty to the state. And they love their country. They love their nation. It's been demanded for so long, and there are consequences to it if they show otherwise. In America, we hate America. America's vile and wicked and ugly. Then leave. Leave. Notice, none calleth for justice nor pleadeth for truth. I'm coming back to that. They trust in vanity. Vanity is an emptiness, an untruth. Vanity is untruth. They trust in untruth. The BLM movement started off in the right manner, I guess. They said this is for, you know, black lives. Okay. But then we find out that they had a Marxist foundation. The people who established it went to South America and studied the Marxist regime of several different countries and came back and implemented that and began teaching people and brainwashing people into that ideology. Now you find that it says they trust in vanity, emptiness, empty promises, free college for all. How are you going to pay for that, dude? Free Medicare for everyone. It's going to only last just a few years before you bankrupt the whole system. How are you going to pay for that, dude? Oh, they don't tell you about the higher tax thing. Look, vanity. An emptiness, an untruth, empty pleasure, arrogance. Vanity means arrogance. They trust in vanity and they speak lies. what the Democrats have done to the President of the United States is lie, lie, lie. And now justice is coming back full circle while a lot of them are indicted and been found out for what they really are. Great thing, I think. Now listen, I'm going to bring this all together. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. That's a poisonous snake, cockatrice. He that eateth the eggs dieth. That which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. I started underlining back in verse number 4. I want you to notice he has changed from the pronoun your, you and your, and now he's going to they and them. Meaning those who are unsaved, those who do not know the Lord, those who are not born again. Notice back in verse 4, none calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity. They conceive mischief. Verse 5, they hatch cockatrice eggs, the unsaved, the non-child of God. Verse 6, their webs. They cover themselves with their works. When you and I've been taught that all our righteousness is as filthy rags, it's not our righteousness that gets us into heaven, but it's His righteousness that gets us there. They cover themselves with their works, their unrighteous, unholy works of iniquity. And the act of violence is in their hands. You know what the problem is? Number one problem in America right now is that the people who are causing all the trouble don't know God. They don't know Jesus Christ as Savior. They're not a child of God. Listen, don't argue with me. There's not any way on this side of heaven that a man can continue to act the way they act in all of their evilness and their perversiveness if they have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of them. There's not any way they can act like that and continue on. Notice, he said in verse 6, their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. The act of violence is in their hands. Oh, it's a peaceful protest. Why'd they bring guns to the peaceful protest? It's a peaceful protest. Why have they burned down so much of Portland and other cities in the country? If it's a peaceful protest, why are all the policemen, many of them, being hit in the head with concussions, lasers shined in their eyes to put out their eyes? How is that a peaceful protest? Lies and lies. Now wait. You say, preacher, I don't want to hear a message on politics. This is not politics only. This is about the existence of the nation of America. And if you'll stay with me, I'll show you that this we're reading here about what Israel did. But America's following the exact same footsteps. Their works are works of iniquity. The act of violence in their hands, verse 7, their feet run to evil. I watched as a mob attacked one lone man. There were four people around him trying to kick him and hit him and finally trying to get him down to the ground where they could stomp him. Eventually, they got him on the ground. They started stomping and kicking him. They broke his ribs. They kicked him until he was unconscious. They broke his jaw. He was bleeding out of his ears, out of his nose. He was kicked in the back. He had vertebrae ruptured. He was horribly beaten to the ground by four or five individuals and then kicked after he was unconscious. Well, those are some brave dudes, aren't they? Their feet run to evil. And they make haste to shed innocent blood. They make haste to shed innocent blood. They enjoy shedding innocent blood. They love it. Nancy Pelosi got on to the President Trump not long ago because he would not sign the final declaration for abortion in the last few minutes of birth, that baby can come forth in the next few minutes, and Trump would not sign the declaration as to making it legal to kill and to tear apart that baby who was just moments from being born. If that's not evil, I don't know what evil is. We've condemned Hitler for his atrocities to human beings. And yet we turn a blind eye to it in America. Their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not. Listen now. And there is no judgment. There is no righteousness in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Listen, shall not know peace. In Proverbs, I'm coming back, but in Proverbs chapter 2, Proverbs chapter 2 and verse number 15. Actually, beginning in verse number 10. Proverbs 2:10. Keeping the idea that the way of peace they know not. There's no judgment in their goings. They made crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Think about this. In Proverbs chapter 2 verse 10. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths. Verse 21, for the upright shall dwell in the land and the perfect shall remain in it, but the wicked shall be cut off from the earth and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. Oh, but we say, the Demorats say, all of this is peaceful protest. What are you getting so upset about? The governors, the mayors that are Democrats of that particular city or state will not allow the police to do their jobs. And they allow the burning, the rioting, the looting, the killing, the maiming, the raping, the muggings, the all in all. It's evil. It's a crooked path. Here we are, America. We just read about Israel. Here we are, America, doing the very same thing in the name of democracy. I got to tell you something. And you listen very carefully to this. We are dealing with evil in America and good in America. In other words, we have two different groups of people vying for leadership in America. We have a group called progressive, and we have a group called conservative. And I want to tell you at this particular time that we need a divorce. Because these two groups now are so far apart. It used to be just kind of semantics. I'm a Democrat. I'm a Republican. There used to be not very much major difference between the two. At present times, we are as far apart as the East is from the West. In a divorce that goes into civil court, oftentimes they will claim irreconcilable differences. It's impossible for us to reconcile because we have such differences. That's where we are in America at the present time. We have irreconcilable differences. We cannot get along with this crowd anymore. It's not about just a title. I'm a Democrat. I'm a Republican. I'm a progressive. I'm a conservative. There is too much at stake, and we are too far apart. On one side, they're for killing unborn children right up until the very moment of birth. On the other side, we're for pro-life. Why can't we get this court system changed? Well, we're trying to do it a democratic way, and they're shoving it through, and I believe by the power of the evil one, Lucifer himself. Well, the liberals on Supreme Court did that you know, same-sex marriage thing. I will not agree with it till the day I die. It's not right. You talk about abortion. You talk about same-sex marriage. You talk about trying to make a classless society. It's impossible under our system. You talk about, brainwashing our kids in school systems. Now the Teachers Union of America, are thinking about not going back to work because of coronavirus, and they got to wear masks, and they got to concede this and concede that, or we're not going. Listen, fire the whole stinking bunch of them. Oh no, that would hurt too many feelings, and they would be offended if you did that. I'm sick to death of people crying offended. I've been offended. Well, go stick your head in the sand somewhere. Amen. Hello? Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. 119, 165, Psalm. Great peace. You want peace? Cry out to God to become your Savior. You want peace? God's the only one can give you peace. You offended? You need to get closer to the Lord and read more of the book. Great peace have they which love thy law, the word of God, and nothing shall offend. Get your feelings off of your shirt sleeve and go back to work somewhere. People have too much time on their hands. Oh, by the way, well, I can't go to work, preacher. They've shut my job. Listen, open up all the businesses again. It's time that Fauci moved to China and become the head pharmacist over there, and everyone else get back to work. Isaiah 59, verse 8, the way of peace they know not. They want peace. I hear these Black Lives Matter. I watched a video of a group going through a residential area in Colorado Springs the other day, and they had rifles at the ready, standing in front of the car in the automobile with their rifles and their shotguns just like this. That tells me they're just about ready to shoot. If it was not a passive individual in the automobile or one that was disarmed, one or the other, those people would have already been gone. They were at ready to pull up and shoot just any moment. That's dangerous. They should not have been allowed, and then they were blocking traffic and all the rest of it. It's crazy. And they were chanting. They were chanting. No justice, no peace. Oh, that's the stupidest thing. No justice, no peace. No justice, no peace. I got news for you. Read with me. Look in Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57, verse 20. But the wicked, now here, God is making a comparison with Israel and Judah. Look up here at me. I don't want to do this just yet. Look up here at me. Israel, the nation Israel, you know it split. They had irreconcilable differences. They had a northern kingdom that Ahab and Jezebel, the most wicked and vile leaders of the day, the most wicked and vile, Jezebel and Ahab were the president, the king and the queen of the northern kingdom called Israel. Their capital was at Samaria. Judah and good king Jehoshaphat was in the south and their capital in Jerusalem. As of yet, they have not gone into Baalism. They had not gone to worshiping Moloch like that wicked north has done. So they had an evil kingdom and they had a godly kingdom. Good King Jehoshaphat. Judah eventually went the way of the northern kingdom, Israel. But at present time, for several hundred years, they remained straight and honorable to God and worshiped God alone. Jehoshaphat's son, though, happened to marry Jezebel's daughter, and oh, here we go. Now we got an evil alliance. But they had a split, and they oftentimes warred against themselves, like a civil war. What was it over? Evil versus good. Evil versus good. Here we are in America with the very same commodity. Evil versus good. Evil versus good. It's not about you call yourself a Democrat or you call yourself a Republican. It's about evil versus good. There are known people in Congress that are worshipers of Lucifer themselves, and by gollies, it shows in the actions of their lives. I'm not smart enough to tell you how we need to do this. I'm not smart enough to tell you where we need to divide the line if we're going to divide it geographically. I don't know about all of those kinds of things. It takes someone smarter than me, but I can tell you we cannot exist as a nation under God. We cannot keep going the way we're going and this time we're hoping we have enough votes to pull it to the conservative side and the godly side. And next time it may go to the evil side. We just came through 8 years of evil. We know what that's like. Only now it's 1,000 times worse now than it was then. Now it's all out in the open. Are you listening to me this morning? Am I telling you the truth? I am. Notice what he said in Isaiah 57. No justice, no peace. No justice, no... I wish those kids, somebody would beat their rear ends and put them to work somewhere and put them out there hoeing weeds out of a garden. Put them out there raking asphalt on a hot summer day. Put them out there and let them sweat a little bit instead of giving them everything they've been given for their whole life and let them learn to make a living honestly instead of this junk they're doing now. No justice, no peace. In 57 chapter of Isaiah, verse 20, but the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. Look up here. Don't go further. Don't get ahead of me. When the hurricanes come and they show this broadcaster out on the sandy beach of the Gulf or the ocean, you see all that foam? And you see all that dirty water churning up in front of that storm. He says that's the way the wicked are. The wicked are like a troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. Look at verse 21. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. No justice, no peace. No justice, no peace. Stupidity. The only way you get real peace is by knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and obeying His words. And that's one reason why the Republicans, if you please, or the conservatives, if you please, that make up a majority of religious people that call themselves Christians, the evangelicals, who believe the grace of God upon mankind, we've been long-suffering because we're not agitators. We've been long-suffering with that other crowd, praying to God that they would change, and they're just getting worse. There is irreconcilable differences. I'm saying to you, it's time that our long-suffering and our patience to these ungodly people ends and we say, Lord, we're on your side. Like Joshua said, hey, who's on the Lord's side? Let him come over unto me. We're on the Lord's side. It's time to get up off our duffs. Start calling our politicians who work for us and tell them to open up America, get back to work, back to business, and leave us alone and return unto God. It's time that someone stand up with an idea that has the mind for it to tell us what to do in this case, but we cannot keep going on every 4 years like this. with irreconcilable differences, sooner or later, they're going to pad the ballot box because they're dishonest. They don't have an honest bone like you have because God is in you. They won't mind telling a lie like you do because God is in you. But God is not in them, and there are no holds barred in America at present time. And it's time that God's people realize that we're fighting against Satan himself, and not against flesh and blood, but he's using these people to do his bidding in America. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. And there cannot be. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. No. In John chapter 8, Jesus said it very well. In John chapter 8, you will notice in verse number 41, Jesus speaks to these individuals who claim themselves to be the children of Abraham. Well, we're the rightful seed. We're as much a part of this nation as you are. Here's what the Democrats are saying. Open it up. Open up the borders. Why don't they want closed borders? They want our nation ruined. I believe they want to ruin our nation. It's not about being racist. It's not about being bigoted. It's about safety and security. It's about right and wrong. If you're not a citizen of America, you should have no right to vote in America. What's wrong with having a voter ID registration? You have to have an ID to get your teeth pulled at the dentist. You got to have an ID to open a bank account. You got to have an ID to buy a new car. You got to have an ID for everything in America except to vote. And that's not right. Jesus said, "Ye do the deeds of your father." Then said they to him, "We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God." Oh yeah, I hear them now. Jesus said unto them, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself. He sent me." Hey, if they were of God, they would love us like we say we love them, but we're not going to put up with this evil anymore. "Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word?" Verse 44. Here's where Jesus puts the rubber on the road. Look at it. "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him." Oh, there are no absolutes, children. Truth is only what you feel at the present time. There are no absolutes. What did Jesus just say? He said he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. Truth has been forsaken in America. Truth has been thrown out into the street, trampled on and burned, along with the flag and the Bibles that were burned in the cities the other day. Truth is burned. There is no longer truth in America for that crowd. Truth is what? They say it is. Truth has fallen. Jesus goes on and he says, "When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God." I could no more burn a Bible, because I love the Lord too much and I love His Word too much. But they had no problem with it. And then stomping on it. Why is that? Because true evil permeates through their veins. True evil. You're not fighting just a bunch of morons. You're fighting a bunch of morons who've been incited and empowered by Satan himself. I believe it. There's too much evil, too much anti-God. Jesus said, if you had loved the Lord, you would have loved me, and you would have known the truth that I have given unto you. Oh, truth faileth. In verse 15, he says, Isaiah 59:15, yea, truth faileth. It doesn't fail on God's part. God's truth always exists, but where truth fails is when we reject it and deny it and throw it out and don't go by it. Truth, the stability, the continuance, the faithfulness, the reliableness, a body of ethical or religious knowledge, when we get rid of it, then we have nothing to guide us by. There's no guidelines when you get rid of truth. Truth is what I say. I can hear Nancy Pelosi saying, truth is what I say. No, sorry. Somebody said the other day that Nancy Pelosi's been in politics and in Congress since the days of JFK. That's way, way too long. I call her the witch woman. Jeremiah chapter 7. I want you to notice Jeremiah chapter 7. Please hurry with me. In verse 28, Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 28, he says, therefore thou shalt speak all these words unto them, unto Israel. Therefore thou shalt speak all these truths unto them and to Judah. But they will not hearken to thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee. But thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished. When you refuse truth, in essence, truth is perished. In chapter 9 of Jeremiah, in verse number 3, you find it says, and they bend their tongues like their bow for lies, but they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth. For they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord. And they bend their tongues like the bow for lies, but they are not valiant. I have a verse of scripture marked. I want to read to you. It's found in the 64th Psalm and verse number 3, Psalm 64 and 3. Who wet their tongue, this is the evil. In verse 2, he's talking about the wicked and workers of iniquity, who wet their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words that they may shoot in secret at the perfect, or the righteous. Suddenly they do shoot at him and fear not. They encourage themselves in an evil matter. Think about the mob mentality. They encourage themselves in an evil matter. They commune of laying snares privately. They say, who shall see them? And so on. I don't want to go further. You find back in Jeremiah chapter 9, they bend their tongues like their bow for lies, but they are not valiant for the truth. You find that back in chapter 7, verse 28, he said, truth is perished. And he goes on in verse 4, Jeremiah 9:4, take ye heed every one of his neighbor and trust not in any brother, for every brother, like in America, we're all brothers and sisters in America. We're all supposedly a democracy, but he says, you can't, there's irreconcilable differences. I can't trust them. They so far have shown me nothing but evil. And he says, drop down and look at verse 8. I'm in chapter 9, verse 8, their tongue is as an arrow shot out. It speaketh deceit. One speaketh peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in heart he layeth his weight. Shall I not visit them for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? He's not just talking about a few people in a neighborhood somewhere. He's talking about a nation that has this mentality, has this attitude, has this temperament. And that he was talking about Israel. Now we're talking about America, who looks like, you could put America right here and it would say the very same thing. In the book of Hosea, find it. The book of Hosea, look in your index in the front and find it. Hosea chapter 4. In verse number 1, I want you to listen. Hosea chapter 4, verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, no mercy, no knowledge of God in the land. What has America done? Oh, it's unconstitutional for you to mention the name of Jesus. You can't mention the name of Jesus. But you can mention the name of Allah. You can mention Buddha, but not Jesus. No, that's unconstitutional. That's forcing your religion upon someone else. There is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out, and blood toucheth blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish. What does it mean? Everyone that dwells in that nation shall become feeble or weak. Whew. Where are we in America right now? We're so feeble we can't go back to work. They've shut everything down. They've weakened the land of America. Trump can't do it by himself. He needs a little help. He's trying the best he can. They shall languish with the beast of the field, with the fowls of the heaven. Yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. Yet let no man strive nor reprove another, for thy people are as they that strive with the priest. Therefore shalt thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. Verse 6, listen. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Knowledge is power. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest. Israel was supposed to have been a priest, a godly nation, evangelizing the rest of the world for God. But she went into idolatry, committed spiritual fornication with those idols, and gave God second place, and so he had to lead Israel into captivity, and that's what he's talking about. I also reject thee, and thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Proverbs chapter 29. Verse number 18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. The vision means spiritual enlightenment. Spiritual enlightenment that only God gives. Where there is no vision, where there is no spiritual enlightenment, where there is no following after God or God's way or God's will or the things of God, like abortion can't be of God. He said, thou shalt not kill, not murder. Same-sex marriage can't be of God. He talked about the Sodomites as being an abomination in his sight. God's not going to change his mind. And there are a thousand other things that contradict the very word of God, the will of God, and the plan of God that he has for the world and for America. Spiritual enlightenment, where there is no vision, the people perish. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. In 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, we're talking about truth. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, In verse number 9, Paul was trying to calm a group of Christians in a church that thought the rapture had taken place and they missed it. Oftentimes when I call out and my wife doesn't answer right away, I don't panic. And I go to another room and I say, "Are you in here?" And she doesn't answer. And I go to another room and, "Hey!" She doesn't answer. And oh my goodness, I've missed the rapture. And I finally find her. I said, "You better answer me next time." She said, "What was the problem?" I said, "I thought maybe I missed the rapture and you were gone." Joke. Paul's trying to calm a group of people that are Christians and say, look, when the rapture resurrection comes, you're going with them. All that are Christ that is coming will go. But he's trying to say, look, the Antichrist cannot come on the scene until the rapture takes place. The Holy Spirit's taken out. And then, oh man, what we're seeing now in America and around the world, people are so deceived. People are so afraid. They're so afraid. They're afraid of their own shadow now. People drive by themselves fully masked. And hey, if you're one of those, okay, that's your choice. You do it, but not for me and my house. And don't get on me for that, okay? I won't get on you. You don't get on me. But they're deceived. And we've allowed politicians to shut down our jobs. Because many are deceived. Look, we ought to rise up. Now's the time to rise up and say enough's enough, no more. We're not listening. Because it's all going to get better after the election, I promise you. We might as well do it now. Look, and Paul writes and he says, even him, he's talking about the Antichrist, whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. In other words, the false prophet is here and he has the ability that Satan gives him to perform miracles, supernatural things that you can't explain and they're not sleight of hand. He actually does them. Satan can do anything and everything except create life. He cannot create life. He can make an illusion of creating, but he cannot create life. God's the only one who can give life. Notice, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them, unrighteousness deceives. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. What did they do? They rejected truth. Where are we in America? They're rejecting truth. They're throwing truth out in the street. Get rid of truth. Get rid of stability, continuance, faithfulness, reliableness, the body of ethical or religious knowledge. Get rid of history, the truth of history. Get rid of all of it. Deny it, and it won't exist. That's part of that theory and doctrine of no absolutes. Deny it and it won't be there. Yeah, right. They receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Deny truth. There's nothing left for you. Get rid of truth. There's nothing to fall back on. Truth is the beginning and the end. There's nothing that can fill the void when truth is gone. Except to be deceived. Again and again. Oh my. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. We've read it so many times. He said in the last days. And verse 3, the time will come when they will not endure. The word endure means to put up with or to bear, to suffer with. I may not believe it, but I'll suffer along with it. I may not agree with it, but I'll bear it. You know, everybody else likes it. I'll just bear it. No. The day will come when they won't bear. They won't endure. They won't suffer the truth to even exist. They want to wipe it off the face of the earth. That's where we are in America right now. It exists. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. After their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. If there is no truth, there's nothing left but fables, lies, and falsehoods. And that's where people are now who are following in that direction. Truth has fallen. My goodness, we need help. Truth has fallen. I had scripture verses that I did not read. I don't have time to read it all this morning. But I want you to know that God was telling Judah, don't go the way that your sister Israel has gone. Israel is going into bondage, and Israel is going to be destroyed, the northern kingdom. Judah, with your capital in Jerusalem, with the temple there, don't follow after your sister Israel, or you'll go into the same destruction. I believe God's telling us this hour that there is a difference in America today that is not reconcilable. It's not just good versus better. It's evil versus good. And there is no reconciliation. And don't you, America, I'm not going to hold you accountable. I saw where God was writing to Judah and he said basically, I'm not going to hold you accountable because you're a righteous people. You serve me, you love me, you go after me. I will not hold you accountable for what your sister Israel has done in this split nation. It was really one nation, but it was split. And God said, I'll not hold you responsible, but if you start going the same direction she's gone, I will destroy you in the same fashion. We're at a crossroads. We need a divorce from these people. I don't know how to do it. I don't know what needs to be done. I'm afraid, listen to me, I am afraid I'm not a proponent of it. I'm not propagating it. I'm not pushing it. But I'm afraid that if it continues on as it is, it's going to do nothing but get worse and worse. And finally, this group of people will finally say enough is enough, and then the violence will start. People are readying for it right now. I've heard it said all my life, there would be another civil war in America. I never really believed it. But it won't be over black versus white or yellow versus black or any of those. It will be over evil versus good. But evil is trying to use every proponent it can to push to that end. They're trying to stir good people against one another. We are members of the human race. Whether we're yellow, or we're black, or we're red, or we're white, or we're green, or whatever we are members of the human race. We should love one another. But that evil side is trying to push good people of different shades and colors against one another because they know that a house divided cannot stand. And they'd rather have it torn apart than to have it go back to a Christian nation as we have known it in the past. We're not dealing with another political mindset. We're dealing with evil. Darkness. And when you deny light in your own personal life, then when you deny light, which is enlightenment or the Word of God telling you this is truth, when you deny truth, you give yourself over a little bit more to darkness. And it's easier next time to commit that dark sin than it was the first time because you give yourself over. But as long as you obey the light, more light is given. The more you understand, the more you obey, the more you understand. But this people don't want to understand. They don't want to. They want to tear down the walls and in our borders. They want to open it wide open to every kind of pervert in the world. They want us to be a globalist society rather than a sovereign nation under God. And I say right now, we are irreconcilable. Somebody stand up with a solution and tell us what to do. The reason we're in this shape is I believe churches have quit preaching the truth of the Word of God. When you silence the churches in America, you silence the conscience of America, and the conscience of America has gone wild now for three generations. Preachers are to blame, and church people are to blame for preaching a social gospel that soothes, but it doesn't change anything. It's not truthful. I have denominational friends and other branches of the Christian faith, if you please, that think it's all right for women to be pastors over them. They think it's all right for a sodomite to be ordained as a priest in their particular church or their particular brand. Listen, they've been brainwashed and they've not been shown the truth of the Word of God, because if they'd been shown the truth, they would have never gone that direction. And that's part of the problem in America, is our churches have become weak because of weak-minded preachers. Truth has fallen. People are not going to church where the presence of God and the truth of God is a priority. Now they're shopping around to get the most possible outwardly from a church that they can possibly get. That's self-serving. And that's where we are. That's the kind of people we're dealing with. They're selfish. They've never worked a day in their life. They've been pampered and given to. They've been given trophies just for participating. They're little crybaby, namby-pamby people, and they're on the weak and evil side of things at the present time. People are dictating through their money and their attendance what they want from churches. And churches do it. Churches give the world what they want. We're finding that a universal language. The nations, the states, the cities are giving the world and the rioting people what they want, trying to compromise with them. And it will never work. In Amos chapter 8 and verse 11, the Lord said, in the last days, there would be a famine. Not a famine of food or a drink, but a famine of hearing the Word of God. In the last days, it would be a rarity to be able to go and worship the Lord and hear the truth. There'd be so much compromise and so much trying to keep from, hurting somebody's feelings or offending someone. So we're not going to preach this subject. We won't preach that subject. We won't preach that subject. We'll throw that out. We won't say anything about those. When you start doing that, pretty soon the Bible becomes ineffective all the way around. A famine of the Word of God. Preachers are trying to become just like everyone else, and I blame them for it. I know preachers that when I moved here 33 years ago, we were pretty close in proximity. But today we're far apart in our methodology and the way we do and the way we believe. Preachers are trying to become just like everyday Joes. They dress down. Oh, we don't wear a tie and we wear blue jeans and a pullover. I mean, that's the thing today. Listen, preachers ought to be different. They ought to set the norm. They ought to set the pattern. Preachers are trying to become just like everyone else, to dress down. Just call me Verl. I remind you that God says, I sent you. These people are not yours, they're mine, but you take care of them. There's an obligation there. Jesus said to the Apostle Peter, what did he say to him? He said, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Take care of my sheep. They're not yours, Peter. I send you to take care of them. Listen, a preacher, a man of God, is just that. He's not his own. He's bought with a price. He's not bought by the congregation that he serves. He's bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. And he better do what the Lord said to do. He better preach the truth, the whole truth. Nothing but the truth. Not even entertain the thought of compromise at any place or at any time. You know what? Truth has fallen in the streets. We're in conflict with three enemies: the world, the flesh, and the devil. And all three want to destroy us. But most needful, we need a generation of people not concerned with the fad of the day, not concerned with the direction religion is going or every other church is going, not concerned about what religion is doing or society is doing or the denomination is doing or other people are doing, but which way is God going? And follow Him. We need a generation of preachers who will say, as Elisha did about Elijah, "Oh God, give me a double portion of what Elijah had, the Spirit." Where are David's mighty men that weren't kings and weren't preachers and weren't prophets? They were warriors. And they protected their King David. And they fought because they were on the Lord's side and the Lord was on their side. And they did some miraculous things because they counted on God being with them, and He was. And it's written in the Bible, these were the mighty men of David. Oh, no, really, they were the mighty men of God. Where are the Gideons who see themselves as nothing but are willing to fight against all odds simply because God has called them? Our nation is under attack. Do you understand? I took an oath one time entering into the military, and I promised to defend the Constitution of the United States against foreign and domestic enemies. Foreign and domestic. I think every law enforcement officer takes that same oath. Every military, everyone that served in the military has taken that oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States against enemies, both foreign and domestic. Right now, we have domestic enemies that are far worse and more dangerous than the foreign enemies ever thought about being. Right now in America, the enemies are knocking at the door. They're burning down our cities. They're looting our businesses. They're killing and maiming our old people and taking advantage of the chaos right now. The enemies of the Constitution. And what happens? What happens? The evil progressives say, "Oh, you law enforcement people, we're going to cut your pay this year, and you can't use tear gas, and you can't use pepper spray, and you can't fire your weapon." Well, how are they to defend themselves, and how are they to defend us when evil has tied their hands behind their backs? I'm telling you, it's time that we become the squeaky wheel that our politicians have to listen to every single day. We become the squeaky wheel that says, "Return our nation unto God. Do what's necessary to take care of the evil that is in our streets right now. Do absolutely whatever it takes. And get control of this thing right now." It's time we stop throwing truth out in the street because we want something different. Evil will lie, lie, lie. Father, thank you for the word. Help, Lord. Take it home. Use it. Glorify yourself. We know that power and strength only comes from your throne. That good can overcome evil only by your direction, your plan, and your power. We know that all things work together for good to them who love God. Perhaps all of this has happened so that we really understand the reality of where our nation is, God. I never realized we were in such horrible condition. Now I know. God, help. Protect our leaders that are trying to do right. Protect our president. Give grace. Have your own way in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. While Brother Jared begins.